You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio. Solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live from the Right Side Studios. Local, state, national, all the issues. Solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, we're going to go to the phones here in just 1 second. As we finished up that last portion right before the break, I told you guys that, so in the end of June, I believe it was, the Biden administration came out with a new executive order. They thrust it out there to the public arena by virtue of the Department of Education. And it was a directive that was supposed to be designed to do a number of things related to sexual harassment. But in the midst of it all, they included transgender workers and students being allowed to use school restrooms that matched their gender identities. And also, by the way, for participation in athletics that does not necessarily align with the biological sex of the person, meaning that, again, males could dominate women's sports. Well, the directive was just blocked by Judge Charles Atchley of the Eastern District of Tennessee. After a coalition of, like, what, roughly 20 Republican attorney generals sued. And so in that regard, we now have an order from the court that says, basically, you cannot continue doing this. It disallows the states to move forward to enforce their own laws because they're simultaneously being forced to have to comply with federal laws, or at the very least, with federal guidance. Well, that being said, let me bring on somebody who is far more of an expert in the realm of constitutional law and civil liberties. Matt Clark is the president of the Alabama Center for Law and Liberty. He has a great track record, having worked previously for the Alabama Supreme Court. We brought him on at the Alabama Policy Institute not long ago to take over the lead of the new Center for Law and Liberty, where he has done an amazing job. So with that being said, I'll bring him on now. Matt Clark, how you doing, buddy?
Hey, Phil, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. Well, hey, I appreciate you making some time today. This new suit and this, not new suit, but this new order from Judge Atchley in Tennessee, what are your thoughts, man? Does this really stop the case? Is this injunctive relief? Is it kind of put a temporary hold on the enforcement of the order? What are you seeing?
Yeah, it is definitely going to put a temporary hold on the Biden administration's plan. So, you and I know what the judge granted is called a preliminary injunction. And for the non-lawyers listening here, what that means is that that this is not a final order. But you know, sometimes while a court is trying to figure out an issue, it can issue an order saying, you know, while I'm trying to figure this out, here's what we're going to do. And that's exactly what a preliminary injunction is. So, in this case, the court did not make a final decision on the merits yet, but it's looking at the evidence and it's saying, okay, while I'm trying to figure this out, right now it's looking to me like the states that brought the suit are entitled to some relief while we're still fighting about this. So for now, I'm going to block the Biden administration from enforcing this and imposing this on the states that don't want anything to do with the Biden administration's actions. So in theory, if you get a preliminary injunction, it can be reversed later in the lawsuit, but it rarely happens. You know, trying to think of it in football terms for, you know, the non-lawyers in the audience, like you're playing in a football game, it's the fourth quarter, and your team gets a touchdown with about a minute left. Now, the other team gets the ball back. They got a minute to drive the ball down the field. But how often do you actually get that touchdown tied up? It's not that often. So things are looking pretty good for us right now.
Yeah, and typically speaking, you have to also prove to the court satisfaction that you have a reasonable expectation of prevailing on the merits of the case later for them to issue the preliminary injunction to keep things status quo for the time being, right?
Bingo. Yeah, that's exactly why it's a good sign for us, because typically you got to show that you have a strong chance of succeeding in the end. So if you don't make that strong showing, you don't get the injunction. So the fact that we got it now means that, you know, the judge is thinking we are going to win this. So that's very, very good.
Well, I mean, the case was actually right now is currently, you know, being resolved in the Eastern District of Tennessee. But there were 20 Republican attorney generals who signed on to this case. I'm assuming that Alabama was one of those. Am I correct?
Yeah, you're right. So Steve Marshall was one of the attorney generals who signed on. So Alabama is in on the case. And so what the judge's order means is that the Biden administration right now is blocked from enforcing this program here in Alabama. So we don't have to let, you know, girls into boys' bathrooms or vice versa or any of the other wacky things that the Biden administration wants to do through this.
Well, that's yeah, and you look at this, and somewhere along the line, you would hope that somebody would say, how about we let a little common sense, you know, rule here? But apparently we have to take common sense to court with the Biden administration at the very least.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, this is insane. You know, the left's mantra for years used to be tolerance, and tolerance means I leave you alone, you leave me alone, and each of us get to do what we want, regardless of whether the other person is happy about it or not. Now it's not just with, you know, things like transgender folks, like, hey, leave us alone, let us, you know, pick our own names, let us dress how we want. Now it's, if I'm a biological male, I get to come into, you know, a shower room with females, and the females just have to put up with it. They shouldn't have to put up with that, especially given the very real potential for sexual assault in such situations. So you're right. So common sense dictates this is a common sense safety measure. Nobody's really infringing on your right here to hold yourself out how you want to be perceived, but there are limits on that. And there's a very common sense limitation.
Yeah. And I before you came on the air to sort of lay the foundation for this segment, I started off with the fact that in New Jersey just this weekend, a biological male who identifies now as a woman was put in a female prison and then now had to be transferred out because he got two of the other female inmates pregnant, which tells you everything right there. And so you look at it and go, okay, somewhere along the line, someone just didn't believe that was really going to happen, and it did. And that kind of harassment you're talking about, that kind of potential for you know, devastating sexual harassment could occur right there with a sanctioned entry into a locker room that shouldn't have ever been sanctioned in the first place.
Yeah, I agree 100%, Phil. It's, you know, as I've been trying to debate this with people and with liberals who are for this, one common question I get from them is, well, where's the evidence that this is going to happen? And I'm assuming they want things like studies or statistics. And I said, okay, listen, there's some things that are so self-evident that we haven't tried them yet, but we just know it's going to go badly. For instance, I don't think there are any studies on there about how often you're going to get shocked if you stick a paperclip in an outlet, or how often it's going to go badly for you if you decide to drink a gallon of gasoline. We haven't tried these because we know in advance this is going to go poorly. And so here, you have to be, I mean, I'm sorry, but you just have to be absolutely blind to see that, you know, or to not see that this is coming. Now, does that mean that every person that holds him or herself out as transgender is going to engage in instances of sexual assault or voyeurism? No, of course not. But there are going to be plenty of people that take the opportunity. All they have to say is, I'm transgender. And now they have access to their victims and can do whatever they want to them. So, yes, we should see that this is coming. And it's absolute madness to just stick our heads in the sand and pretend that this isn't a real danger.
Well, yeah, you're right. And right now what I think is being lost in all of this are the rights of those who are potentially offended. Not the offended as in terms of I'm a transgender and I want access to that locker room because I say so. What about everybody else? Because I mentioned the fact that years ago when I was in the state Senate, I was the only one who was able to or willing to carry a bathroom bill that dealt with this issue before it became the hot button that it is now. I was laughed at. I was told that it was a solution looking for a problem, and well, here we are now. But the reality is, even back then, I did the legal study on it and found that under Alabama law, the citizenry of the state has a actual right to security. They have a right to the idea of privacy and security within their own selves and the right to not feel threatened. And this can create that. And the idea that we just blow that off and pretend that it's just, you just suck it up. You know, that's just wrong in itself because that violates the rights of those who are being infringed upon.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%, Phil. Two comments on that. Number one, I remember back when you were a state senator and you introduced that, I was working at the Foundation for Moral Law at the time, and I remember coming to your office and meeting with you and Rich Hobson to thank you for that. That was my first time meeting you, so thanks for having the foresight to even do that back then. The second thing, you're absolutely right. I think it's even the U.S. Supreme Court, or even if it's not the U.S. Supreme Court, it's the lower federal appellate courts have held that you do have a right to things like not being seen naked, especially by somebody of the opposite sex. And so we're not trying to invent a new right here that hasn't existed. No, on the contrary, we recognize that this has existed for a very long time. And so here we're just, you know, we're asserting a very old and very commonsensical defense, which is that people shouldn't have to be subject to this. So, that's inevitably going to offend some people, but I'm sorry, you know, in society, sometimes people need to be offended in order to avoid a greater harm, and that's what we have going on here.
Well, so Matt, as we wrap up our time together, let me ask you this. I mean, this was a presidential executive direction here. It did not have the full force of law, but it was being regulated into law. But I assume, though, that this particular court ruling has a nationwide impact. This injunction is nationwide. Am I correct?
I've been looking over that. I'm not sure if it's nationwide, but what I do know is that it applies in the 20 states where the AG's sued, and Alabama is one of them. So, you know, we're looking at least 20 states here where the Biden administration is barred from enforcing what it wants to do. So maybe not exactly nationwide, but it still has a pretty big impact.
Well, you know, once again, I think that one of Trump's greatest legacies is going to be the appointments he made to every aspect of the court systems, and that's playing out right now, right before our very eyes.
I agree with you completely. You know, for a long time, we've been longing for judges that abhor the practice of making up new rights as they go along, but instead are going to be faithful to uphold the Constitution, to uphold the laws of the United States, and to let the people or their representatives make any necessary changes. And Trump really did restack a lot of vacancies in the judiciary with judges that are committed to that philosophy. So we're seeing the fruit of that, and I say thank God for it.
Absolutely. Well, man, I totally agree with you. Hey, Matt, good commentary as always. I tell you what, before we go, tell people where they can find out more about you if they want to.
Thanks, Phil. So if you go to alabamalawandliberty.org, that's our website. You can check out our cases, can find ways to get involved and donate if you feel so inclined. And then we're on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram under Law and Liberty AL. That's our handle.
All right, man. Matt Clark, we appreciate you. As always, we'll have you back on again sometime soon, but thanks for being in the fight.
Awesome. Thank you, Phil. Same to you, brother.
All right. All right, well, listen, Kelsey, go ahead and move us to the break. We'll take that break right now. We'll come back and sort of wrap this segment up, and then we'll go down to the bottom of the half hour, and we'll have Boomer and the Birdman. Enjoy that segment. That's just good times. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.